by this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Except you catch the understanding of the offer of this flesh, except you understand what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, except you understand the meaning of his blood, eating there is eating it, receiving it into your spirit man, receiving it into your heart, unless that understanding is anchored in you, you will never have life. He came to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. They humiliated him. And yet, he belonged to them. Yet, you are a Christian. There is an attitude you are supposed to put up in relationship with Christ. Especially when you come to take a reflection of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You don't come anyhow. It was not a joking matter hanging there on that cross. He was not guilty. When you are guilty and you are paying for something you did, it doesn't pain you as when you know you are innocent. And he did all that having you in mind, having me in mind. When I come for communion service, when I pick that bread, I am not looking at a piece of bread. I am looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Looking at what he went through for me. There's something he does in me. I begin to pick a picture of what he went through and to discover that he did it for me. There is something he tears inside of me, understanding the Lord's body. Hallelujah. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Yes, sir. He paid all his debts. With the blood of the Lamb. What will happen? What will happen? I will pass over you. Oh yes, see the blood. Oh yes, I will pass over you. In Egypt, they were to apply it on the doorposts and the lintels. But now, the door to your soul is your heart. Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing from sin I cry. Where do you apply the blood?
To my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name.
Glory to his name.
Yes, sir. Church, Where? Where? It's in the heart. How do you apply the blood in your heart? That will let you know why he, God, had to change the covenant from that of an animal and bring us under the covenant of the blood of his son. The reason is in Hebrews chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Let me read it from verse 1 to verse 4. This is the reason. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually, make the commerce thereunto perfect. No, it cannot make him perfect. The law, there was nothing in the law to perfect anybody. Verse 2. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. So he has to be coming every year to repeat it, because there is nothing in that sacrifice that he was offering that could affect his conscience. So you, after this year, you go, you took next year again, you have to come back again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. He has to keep coming. He has to keep coming. Praise the Lord. Why? Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It is not possible. It is not possible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is not possible. There is nothing in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 gave us a key there where it says he forbade the Jews, his people, from eating blood. Blood was one of the things they should not eat. And he said the reason is because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Catch it, brothers. Catch it, sisters. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The reason why you are alive today, hallelujah, the reason why you are alive today, that thing that is making you to be alive, that thing, the life there, hallelujah, is not in your heart, it's not anywhere else, hallelujah, it's inside your blood. When you lose blood, you are losing your life. That's why you go to the hospital, you have accident, you've lost blood, immediately they will begin to put drip inside of you. When you are losing blood, the percentage is too low, they will put you in emergency because they know that life is going. Hallelujah. Now the animal had a blood. And Jesus Christ too had a blood. But the blood of an animal, Apostle Paul said, there is nothing in his blood that can affect the conscience of the believer. Of the sinner, I mean to say. So when he comes, he has offered the sacrifice, the animal has died for his state, but he still lives, and he will still continue in his sin because the nature of sin has not been affected. That is why we needed a more perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. There is a life in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory be to God. There is a life in the blood of Jesus Christ that is different from the life in an animal. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. When that life meets with a sinner, it changes a sinner to a saint. When you come before that Lamb of God and you accept that sacrifice, the life that was in his blood comes into that sinner at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave up the ghost. When he shed his blood, the life, eternal life, left him. And that life is still looking for the last sinner. That we truly come and understand what happened on the cross on Calvary. How can come and sing just as I am, without any argument, without one plea. Don't justify yourself, but thy blood, you believe, was shed for me, and that be come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. O Lamb of God,
I come.
And it's not coming with leg. It's coming with your heart. It's your heart, brethren, it's your heart. Anyone that comes with leg, that same leg will take you away again. For out of the abundance of the heart, the leg, the waka. That's the truth. Where God is interested, in Ezekiel chapter 36, the first thing he does in restoring you, the first thing in Ezekiel chapter 36, what does he do? He said he will sprinkle you with clean water, and that is the water that we are washed daily with the water of the word. If it is the clean water that you are washed and you will be clean, clean water, not adulterated water, not the doctrine of man. If preachers will preach this unadulterated word, clean water, it will wash away every doubt. It will wash away every uncleanness. And it will position you for him to see your heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are dirty, you come to your house and somebody knock and you are dirty, what do you do? William Branham was saying something, teaching us how to be decent. He said he was at the back of his house mowing the lawn. He was cutting grass. So he was wearing only singlet and maybe a short knicker. And then suddenly they say he had visitors. So he ran first to go and dress up. Before he came to receive his visitors. There are some men, if you go meet them, you get visitor, then go tie wrapper plus chewing stick with bare body. Nah. You come. Amen. Amen. That also lets me know that if it is the word you have received, it is when you are eventually cleaned up that you can answer call. Come. Then you can come to him. Because you have received the word that has affected you, touched you. See, every true believer that has truly received, you come to Christ because you have received Christ. Because there is something you have had that has affected you, that causes you to take a decision. Willingly, you took that decision. Can I tell you something? You don't come to the altar more than once in your lifetime. You can't come to the altar more than once in your lifetime. Once. Hallelujah. Because before you come out, it's a decision you have taken. You can't go back. I have decided to follow Jesus. What made you to take that decision? Is this decision so that you'll be protected from witches and wizards? You will soon forget that decision. Is it a decision so that your business can be protected? So that you can make money? Very soon you will make the money and you will leave him. Is it because you want the healing? He's a miracle worker, you need a miracle. Very soon you will see a reason to leave him. But if it is because you have understood, discerned the Lord's body, you have understood what he did, you have eaten his body, his flesh, and you have drank the blood, you have understood what he did, when you come out, you come out once in your lifetime. Because a relationship will build. That is the foundation of our faith. Knowing what he did for you on the cross on Calvary. Nobody begs that type of person to serve God. Such a person does not come to God because he needs something from him. Day and night, morning and evening, every time, it is his pleasure to serve God. Say, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Love him because he first loved me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When he gave up the ghost, the life that left him there comes and strikes your heart. Then the work of regeneration starts. Sprinkling of clean water. That is exactly what I am doing now. Then, he said, he will work on your heart. He will change your stony heart to a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 says so. Because it is a stony heart that makes us behave the way we behave. No matter how the Spirit of God corrects you, he's wasting his time. No matter what, he's wasting his time. You have a stony heart. That's why when you live here now, Nabia Palo, you go. That's why you live here now, we are going to computer to look for you, but that you will dupe. Your conscience, no conscience, and you bring the tithe of such stolen money and pay it to God. Your heart. Something is wrong with it. So God is interested in your heart. He said he will turn the stony heart to a heart of flesh. Then the next thing he does is, he said that he will put a new spirit in you. Even your spirit man has to be changed. Because everything around you, your spirit is a worldly spirit. Nothing cannot receive anything of the spirit. Spiritual, nothing. Everything. You know it. How do I know it? Praise the Lord. How do you know that your spirit needs change? Listen to me now. Let me just use one example. How do you know? Anytime you see a worthless song that you used to love so much before you became a Christian, and it's playing, and unconsciously you see yourself that I'm bad. And you see yourself, they shake like that. You know, it's not you. It's your spirit man that is responding. Because sometimes you suddenly say, this song, I'm born again. No, I'm not going to sing this kind of song again. Which kind of song is this? That is evidence that you are, your spirit is a worldly spirit. Those are all the things it has fed from. As you walk out like this, you see one woman wearing dress, can't leave her laps behind. Before you know what? And sometimes you want to justify yourself. See this Jezebel. See this Jezebel. See her. See this devil. See this devil. Now lie, you don't enjoy him. You don't enjoy him, bro. That's evidence that your spirit needs change. And don't deceive yourself. Start fasting. Cry to God. Lord, I am still very, very carnal. Change my spirit. Change my spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You find yourself, you are doing that bad thing first that you used to do. That you said the things I used to do, I do them no more. When you don't almost finish, you say, Kai, I'm a Christian. No. Oh, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You have done it. Church, listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, he will give you a new spirit. Then, I will put my spirit in you. That is the process of the new birth. Clean water. I'm quoting Bible, Ezekiel chapter 36. Maybe you don't have it. Open it. Verse 24. For I will take you. Ezekiel 36 from verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That is the process of the new birth. And sometimes we only reach the level of the spirit man changing. When the spirit man changes, you will love the things of the spirit, but it has not yet been converted. That's the process. Some of us, it reaches one level and we think that we have received the Holy Ghost, because suddenly now, when your new spirit is given to you, when a sermon is going on like this, you can cry. You will be so touched. When song worship is going on, your spirit will connect. You can even fall under anointing and be speaking in tongues. You will love to dance and things like that. But the evidence that it is only your spirit that has been affected, after you leave that atmosphere and you go, will you still remain in the spirit like that? Wait until even for bus stop, bus conductor opening bad mouth against you. That's when you go know, say, you still need conversion. When somebody does anything, that's when you will know that your reaction, there is nothing to restrain you. He said, when he does that, after the spirit, he puts his spirit within you and causes you to now live a life pleasing before him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the meaning of grace. The life that I live is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Hallelujah. That is the meaning of grace. That is the benefit we receive when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is no longer you, but God comes and takes over and causes you to live a life that will keep all the laws that the law could not achieve in the Old Testament. And that is made possible through the life that was in the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. There's a power there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have to understand, discern the body of Christ. In another scripture, that's why we see in John chapter 19, verse 34, when that Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus Christ, two things came out. First John. Hallelujah. First John chapter 5. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you come to this church and you still end up going to hell, it means your papa is Cain. It's true. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, yes. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? The he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I've explained this before. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. When you say the Son of God, you are making reference to the sacrificial lamb. Verse 6. That is, he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. He came on the cross on Calvary. When they say he came by water and blood, it means he was born like every other human being was born. But he came as a sacrificial lamb. But more importantly, it demonstrated it again on the cross on Calvary. And this is where I am going. Discerning the Lord's body. That when he died on the cross on Calvary, before he died, he was pierced by the side. And two things came out. Water and blood. Not only water. Somebody shout, not only water. Say it again. I am saying it because The average person coming to Jesus Christ is looking at the water side of the cross only. He's not looking at the blood side. Water there signifies the abundant life that was released. Prosperity is part of that water. Healing, deliverance, abundant life. Flow from the cross on Calvary. But blood also came out. And I've explained that in some other sermons before. Blood also came out. Not only water. That lets us know that blood refer also to the sufferings of the cross. If a man will follow me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. Now let me know that should they enjoy Christianity, there is also a wahala that will follow in that enjoyment. Don't think that I've come to send peace on the earth. What did he say he came to send? His trouble he brought. Fathers will reject their children. Children will be rejected. Parents will reject children. Children will reject parents. Husband and wife will be quarreling. Fight. Oh, because of Jesus. Go and ask the Pharisees and Sadducees. They will confirm it for you. Amen. I know somebody who converted from her religion to Christianity. And she was ordered to be killed. That's how somebody smuggled her. She came here. Some of you know it. Obina, you know the sister. From the north. And all the efforts we did. Praise the Lord. To accommodate her. And keep her. And eventually, we still reunited them prayerfully with her parents. She's gone back there and she's still a Christian. That is what it happens when you take a step, a decision to follow him. And so, the Bible says, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Persecution. Not water only, but water and blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, these are the things that you consider when you come before the Lord's table.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My
Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. Worship you.
Because you love me so.
Except you catch the understanding of the offer of this flesh. Except you understand what he did for you on the cross on Calvary. Except you understand the meaning of his blood. Eating there is eating it, receiving it into your spirit man, receiving it into your heart. Unless that understanding is anchored in you, you will never have life. He came to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. They humiliated him. And yet, he belonged to them. Yet, you are a Christian. There is an attitude you are supposed to put up in relationship with Christ. Especially when you come to take a reflection of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You don't come anyhow. It was not a joking matter hanging there on that cross. He was not guilty. When you are guilty and you are paying for something you did, it doesn't pain you as when you know you are innocent. And he did all that having you in mind, having me in mind. When I come for communion service, when I pick that bread, I am not looking at the piece of bread. I am looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Looking at what he went through for me. There's something he does in me. I begin to pick a picture of what he went through and to discover that he did it for me. There is something that stirs inside of me, understanding the Lord's body. Always remember, blessed be the name of the Lord, that any time you take that bread and take that wine, let your mind go to the cross. What the Lord did for you and did for me. And in his proper perception, when you take that bread, if you are sick and you eat that bread, hallelujah. A sister was sharing with me this morning. When I prayed, you know, she received a very serious deliverance after I prayed for her yesterday. And she said this morning that she was told, the angel that visited her told her that when she goes for communion today, she's used to taking tiny piece of that something. That she used to think that if she eat a big piece, it means she will carry big problem. So she will look for one tiny piece and carry. He said the angel told her to eat the biggest one she can find. Amen. And explain to her why she should eat it. Eat it very well. Hallelujah. And she must also know that to eat the bigger piece also means you should give enough time to the study of the word, so that you can understand him very well. I know some people could begin to search for big pieces now today. Especially those who are hungry, they will pack 4 pieces. What did happen? I want to eat a well. Now lie, now hungry, they chop them for. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you do that in remembrance. And listen, Jesus Christ, in him there was no sin. That is why, church, listen, that is why the bread for communion must be without leaven. Exodus chapter 12 told us that the bread we should eat should be without leaven. Don't put yeast in that bread. Don't put yeast. Yeast is a type of sin. Leaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read it. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. When you come before the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where a fornicator was found in the church, and Apostle Paul was telling them how to deal with that fornicator. He should drive them away because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In verse 5, he said, you should deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, your glorying is no good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If you catch a church member in fornication and you don't drive that person away from the church, he will soon initiate other people into fornication. And anybody that knows a brother, a sister, a member of the assembly is living in fornication, and you don't report, you are as guilty as the people that are doing it. Yes! People don't know. Look, somebody say, hey, listen. Do you know why God gives you revelations concerning somebody? Do you know why he gives you revelation concerning somebody? If he gives a revelation of something evil that is coming upon someone, he shows you and you refuse to go and tell the person. If that evil comes upon that person, what will happen to you? Yes, the Bible lets us know so. He will require the soul of that person from you, because he showed you so that you will warn the person. You did not warn the person. God was not entertaining you to show you a brother or a sister that is living in fornication, in that your dream or in that your vision. You have one thing, your obligation towards him and towards the church. One is to go to him and say, I saw you in fornication. The three quarters of fornicators will never agree they fornicated, even if you catch them. You say, but I didn't enter. I was only on top of her. They must have something to say. They must deny it. Praise the Lord. But you have gone. This is thus said the Lord. If it is a lie, God will forgive me. If it is a lie, please ignore the revelation. But the Lord showed me that you are a fornicator. And if you don't cease, the Lord's judgment is coming. I have given you the message. And if it's a true fornicator who does not want to repent, he'll start to fight you. Idiot. Now you be fornicator. Idiot. You are your dream. God of you perish. Idiot. Anytime you see and they do like that, now fornicator. Who does not want to repent? And he's afraid that you go and tell the pastor. Especially if he holds an office in the church. Because they will remove him. He will run to the pastor. Pastor, I don't like the kind of revelation. What did they give? One brother came to me. What is that stupid revelation? I've been serving God here faithfully. He says, I'll be fornicator. Pastor, I don't like this. Make it help me one ammo. Make it help me one ammo. If you tell me that, I will say, brother. Hey. Amen. If you are not a fornicator, ignore him. But if you are a fornicator, repent, or very soon he will disgrace you. Now, my own be that. Listen, church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God can show you something by vision. God can show you another one, koro koro. Oh, now God will show you. So if you see and you keep quiet, you will require the soul of that person from you. Yes. It's true. You visited a brother. Yes, last week. You saw a sister there as early as 6 a.m. As early as 6 a.m. What happened? At the go work, now a branch to see Shola. 6 a.m. Amen. Now what happened now? The tie wrapper. Amen. Whatever excuse you give, Christian believed all things. Another time again you branch. You see her for 11:30 in the night. What happened? Rain they fall. Now they wait, may the rain finish, make I go. You don't need interpreter to know that the two of them are fornicators. If you don't report, you'll be as guilty as that person. And if you try to cover him up, it's because you're a fornicator. It's only a fornicator that will cover up a fornicator. This is why you must take it seriously. A little leaven it the whole lump. Then he said in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven. So yeast there is a type of sin. When you come as a body like this, he said, don't mix with that yeast. That feast. The leaven of sin. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, the Passover feast. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, the old sinful nature. Neither with the leaven of malice. Malice is leaven. And wickedness. Wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He called malice one, and he grouped all the other aspects. He called it wickedness. Why did he say so? If you see a brother that is in need and you don't help, it is wickedness. If you gossip against a brother, against a sister, it is wickedness, because you are destroying the personality by that nonsense you are saying concerning him or her. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why the communion bread must be without yeast. You don't use agege bread. You don't use sliced bread, no matter how beautifully packaged it is. You don't use biscuits. Praise the Lord. And the wine also must have alcohol. And the reason why it must have alcohol, I've explained it here several times, because the life that is in the blood, the wine there is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of Jesus Christ has a life in it that preserves the believer when it comes upon you. That is eternal life. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. He said, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost is a preservative. The finished work of God for your salvation is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received an unending life. That is why we say, once saved, forever you are saved. It's a life that is eternal. Grave cannot stop that life in you. Nothing can stop that life in you. You receive God inside of you. You live eternally. That is a type of that alcohol. It preserves that wine. No matter how many years you open that drink and keep it, as long as alcohol is in it, it is preserved. Praise the Lord. And when you drink alcohol, it gives you excitement. So you see a Christian that is filled with the Holy Ghost behaving like a man that is drunk, always in excitement. It's a type of what the effect of that alcohol in that wine. That is why that wine must contain alcohol, but that is only during the ritual of the communion service. That's why William Branham said a Christian is not entitled to alcohol, even if it is 1% in that wine. You are not entitled to alcohol except in the Lord's table. So when you come today, you are free to drink the quantity that will be given to you here. So if you want plenty, you can befriend the minister to fill your cup. See? Amen. There are some that drink finish. There's, I think one man came like that. Every minister that came, Paul, mainly Paul, when you talk about finish, you go, drink the thing. They keep again away for another minister. When you come, you pour again. You go, drink. When you turn your back, finish again. That's a drunkard that came in our midst. You drink it like that, not discerning the Lord's body, because you are supposed to come reverently. That's why he said, as you come before the Lord's table, he said, let a man examine himself, let a man examine herself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. May nobody here today who will participate in the communion service bring any form of curse to yourself today in the name of Jesus Christ. And as important as it is, when it will be time for communion, you will see some people who are even members of this church. We do this once in a month. They will take off. You won't see them come back. And let me tell you, it's either of two reasons that makes you go. If you have to go to work, and because of time you have to rush, God understands. But let it be the reason why you will leave, you will not participate in a program like this set by your own church. Let it be that it's a reason that God himself will understand. Don't leave and say, I am tired. I can stay here from morning to evening. I don't tire. Because I have preached. Somebody will say, I know I'm bringing curse upon myself. Oh. There they go. Because I know, say, I still get girlfriend for house. Oh. Me, I want to be sincere with myself. Oh. I know, sir, I still they do 419. Yo. I mean, I know, still stop now. This one, I don't know what they go to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, somebody called me yesterday, a young girl. A girl, I don't know you. You say you come here sometimes. Maybe you are here today now. A young man, In short, her problem is she sleeps about with men. And she says she finds out that she cannot resist it. And she says, and she is married to another man with even one child for him. He said, but all his friends sleeps with her. She was telling me on the phone. She said, the worst is if her husband catch her. She said, she does not feel remorse. She said, she'll be challenging him. But after some time, you know, as she came into this church, she began to know that she is not normal. By the things she was hearing here, she knew that she was not normal. Before, she thought she was normal. You are not normal, you are possessed. Number one, a man or a woman must not sleep with anybody that has not married you. I'm marrying you by paying a bride price. That is the meaning of marriage. Secondly, praise the Lord. If any man sleeps with you that has not married you, sister, brother, the Bible calls the two of you whoremongers. Praise the Lord. You are married, brother, sister. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. He says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. He said, but whoremongers and adulterers, what will happen? God will judge you. It is Hebrews 13 verse 4. So many people running from church to church, pastor to pastor. The problem that is following you is God judging you for the abominations you have been committing. You will never get true deliverance until you repent. People don't tell us the truth anymore. You see why they don't like this church? With the grace of God in this ministry, this church should be the biggest church in Lagos by now. They can't come to this time. How can you come to a church that they will not allow you to wear trousers, sister, and paint your face? They will allow you to have a boyfriend and enjoy your life. Brother Abraham told us, a man and a woman in courtship, he said, you have no right to even kiss until the day you are pronounced husband and wife. But there's something that you kiss every time. Every time. And that dirty mouth now, you come and carry. When I see the blood, when I see. Which mouth? I told you what to do. Anytime you want to repent, stop it. Stop it. Anybody here, maybe you didn't know it was wrong to kiss your boyfriend, to kiss your girlfriend. If that mouth has ever kissed mouth to mouth, anybody that you have not married, that mouth has been defiled. When you leave here today, go and carry toothbrush and anointing oil and brush your mouth. Brush your mouth. Brush your mouth. Brush your mouth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ cannot be crucified a second time. Believers, hear this. He cannot. Anytime you say you are born again, you come identify with what happened on the cross on Calvary, communion like this, and you live a life that brings reproach to the gospel, you are crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. No, stop it. When you decide to be identified with Christ, you are known to be a Christian. You are known to be a believer. Everybody around you knows. Then you have an obligation to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Let people see the light around you and be attracted. Let them see godliness around you and be attracted. Let them see something around you that they don't have. A life that is worth emulating. Praise the Lord. I know it's very difficult. Very difficult for single brothers, especially women. That the ones have been taking advantage of. Because I'll marry you. Anything the man tells you to do, you do it. No. Don't let desperation send you to such abominations. You are a daughter of God. Don't do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And more importantly, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, more importantly, and that's the common one that many of us overlook without knowing the effect, is the way we treat one another. When you take that bread, it was from one lump that was torn to pieces. One lump that we all share in that one body of Jesus Christ. I am a part of it, you are a part of it. We become one body made up of many members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says so. One body made up of many members of that one body. You and I, when we come to Christ, we should not relate with one another by the identification of a state you come from, identification of the tribe you belong. No, no more. And I believe it is so. If not, you won't be here today. You won't make me your pastor because I am not an Igbo man. You see? And therefore, when I deal with you, I am not dealing with you because you are from my village. And if I give my people from my village special priority in attending to them, it means I have not understood the body of Jesus Christ. You see? And any time you see a true Christian that has a need and you ignore that person, the truth is you are ignoring Christ. You cannot see Christ anymore in his corporate body. You see him now in the composition of the church. Hallelujah. No one can see God. But Christ said, if you see me, you see the Father. And every Christian, if I see you, I see Christ. Why did he make that statement? People will come and make others shame by the life they live. Unforgiveness. Malice. And you come in that condition and you hold that bread to eat. You are eating damnation to yourself. When you are holding another person that is may even be here holding that part of the bread again, and you are not talking to each other, and then you are holding grudges against one another, if you come like that, he said, for that reason many are weak. You are eating it unworthily. You see, he said, as much as you did it not to the least of this my brethren, you have not done it to me. If you clothe a needy brother, take it that way. Better know it from today. It's a revelation. That is the truth. It is scriptural truth. Whatever you do to a Christian, you are doing it to Christ. Always know that if you cheat a brother, if you make a sister to cry by frustrating and disappointing her, you are making Christ to cry. It is the second crucifixion. You are making him suffer. Because he will feel the pain of that his daughter. Feel the pain. It's among Christians that you find people duping one another. I believe you for what you say. And I borrow you money. Pay back. You refuse to pay. And the next thing you are saying is to quote scripture. Brother, we are Christian now. Why do you have to take me to police? Are we not brethren? So if you cheat me, amen. You didn't remember that we are brethren when you were cheating me. Now when I want to carry you go police now, you will say, should a Christian go to police? Why are you a Christian? You are free to take anybody that you notice that is hiding under Christianity to finish you. Carry and go prison and let him go to police, let him go to prison. Christianity has degenerated now until it has been infiltrated by serpent seeds. Until now, we are afraid to stand for somebody to go and get a job. I have told a young man to give somebody 2 million to join them in a business. Somebody I knew very well. He disappeared for 2 years. Disappeared. another person was a popular person here. Everybody knows. Hey, I said, no, I know him very well. He collected that guy's 2.something million naira and disappeared. And, you know, and this young man, it was horrible. We had to hunt for him. Until we discovered where he was, I had to send the police to go and grab him there. That boy said police station, and they settled the matter. I is quick to say, but you know my problem. Pastor, I thought you are my pastor. I am not a pastor of goats and dogs. Can you call me I'm your pastor? Want to finish me? I am going to stand for shorty somewhere for somebody who that was locked up, who was owing some money. He disappeared, let me pay that money. I never choice police away from me for outside. Amen. So be careful. But I'm looking at a genuine cause. Be careful how you deal with one another. When you have opportunity to help anybody, help that person as unto the Lord. You are doing it for Christ. And more importantly, before you take the bread and the wine today, look for that sister that you disappointed. Either start the relationship again. Or tell her to forgive you. And promise her that you will join her in fasting and praying that God will give her a better man than yourself. God will see your heart that you mean it. Yes. And if you do have so much money, begin to pay back. Promise that you will pay back. Because there are men that take advantage of women. Because they need husband. You've collected money, and she was giving you and plowing on you and plowing in hope. The Bible says he that ploweth should plow in hope. And you dash her hope. And you duped her. It's a terrible thing. That woman cries to God, God will answer her prayer concerning you. Don't come and take that communion if you know somebody has an ought against you unjustly. I'm talking unjustly. There are some people that for doing nothing, they're not going to like you. That's not the one I'm talking about. Examine, have I offended somebody? Go to the person and say, I am sorry. Phone the person and say, I am sorry. If you phone them during that prayer, you cannot get the person. Send and text. Even as I talk now, you are free. Send text now. Tell the person to forgive you. Anybody that you make crying anywhere because of your action, tell the person to forgive you. Then come in that estate. Then you can enjoy fully the benefit of the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You cannot say you love God and then you hate his children. No, the Bible is against it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. He said, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, I hated his brother, who is he? Who is he? Very loud, who is he? He's a liar. You don't love God. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, what shall he do? Love his brother also. And he capped it up in chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone, that is where I am going, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love the Father, that is what it means. You must love the Father's Son also. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 9. He that said he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Praise the Lord. This is the understanding we carry to the communion table. And when you have that understanding, as you take that bread and take that wine, any sickness that has resisted healing, it will disappear. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. Deliverances from curses and evil covenants take place when you take communion bread and the wine in the right understanding. Even people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as you drink that wine, it enters like this, something else will happen. It's a period for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the period you receive revival and restoration. That is where yokes are broken. That is where, you know, doors of blessings are open. You receive a joy. You receive a peace. Fear disappears. Anxieties disappear. And a boldness comes upon you. Suddenly, you suddenly realize you are not an ordinary person. You suddenly realize that you are especially beloved of the Lord. Suddenly, your life becomes meaningful. That is what we achieve if we understand the Lord's body. Can we stand up?